you believe this is like the end of 2022. Yeah, that's it. That is the year we are ending. Well, it is so good to have all of you guys. We're fixing to go into a time of worship and sing some Christmas carols together. We have a great service planned for this Christmas Eve. So if you don't mind, let's go ahead and stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you have done this past year, what you have done through our families, through this church, and how we've been committed to become lifelong followers of you. Jesus, we love you, and we ask that you go ahead and come into this place today and have your way. We welcome you here with open arms, open hearts, and open minds, so we can receive whatever you have for us today. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and sing these carols together.
Jesus. That's what we're here today to celebrate, his birth. What an incredible opportunity to be together on this Christmas Eve as we come together to remember the birth of our Savior, prepare our hearts one more time to worship him, to adore him, to put our attention and our heart on him. And I'm so glad that you're here with us today. Would you bow your head with us as we close our time of worship in a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus, to this earth as that little baby 2,000 years ago. We thank you. We thank you that you love us so much that you were willing to let him die for us. We thank you. So Heavenly Father, we ask today that our focus would go back to you, our hearts would be turned to you as we remember how great you are and how much you love us. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow. Hey, before you sit down, we want to welcome you to Life Church, to our Christmas Eve service. You guys look so good, and it's a little cozy in here because it's cold outside. So before you sit down, why don't you spin around and shake somebody's hand and hug somebody's neck and make somebody feel welcome to be at Life Church today on our Christmas Eve. It's going to be a joy to celebrate. Hopefully some of you will have family coming in to be with you. And if you're leaving here and you're getting on the road and you're traveling, know that we've been praying for you. In fact, we've been praying for several things. Let me just tell you some of our prayer points that we've been praying together as a church staff for you. We've been praying that we would be able to keep a focus on Jesus this Christmas season and all of the distractions that fight for our heart and fight for our attention and fight for our time and fight for our dollar bills. We've been praying that God would help us have a focus on Jesus. We've been praying that God would allow us to have the opportunity to share the gospel story. We want to do that today. We want to do that each and every Sunday, but we're praying that God would allow you and me around our family dining room tables and around our living rooms to share the gospel story as our families come together. And if that's you, and if you have family members that might not know Jesus the way that you do, just know we've been praying specifically for you, that God would give you a Holy Spirit-inspired boldness to share the gospel story, why we celebrate Christ at Christmas. We've also been praying for those that are lonely at this Christmas time. Perhaps you know someone who's lonely. This is going to be a first Christmas without a special loved one. This will be a difficult Christmas for a single parent. This will be a Christmas where someone has moved away and they're a new person, a foreigner among us, and they're away from family. Whatever the reason for loneliness, we do know that Christmas is a time where people are lonely. And so we've been praying that in the middle of loneliness, people would find community. And so in our church family, if you know someone that's lonely this Christmas, could I just encourage you today to call them? Could I encourage you today to send them a message, to let them know that they're thought of, they're not forgotten, they're not overlooked, that they're surrounded by love and a family? We've been praying for prodigals this Christmas season, that those who once walked with Jesus and have walked away would come back. And so those are some of the prayer focuses that our team has been praying for you, and we wanted to share that with you this morning to know that in many different ways, our heart has been intertwining, praying for so many of the desires that you have and you've been asking the Lord for as well. We have so much to be grateful for. In fact, as we get ready to start today, and I want to walk through just a passage of scripture and share a thought with you. But I wanted to start with a thought of gratitude. I'm so grateful for what God has done through Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I could never save myself. I could never be that good. There's nothing I could ever do to merit eternal life or God's grace or his forgiveness. Yet God, in his mercy and in his love, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. I'm just so blown away by the amazing love of God. So much to be grateful for. So much to be grateful for of things that we take for granted from time to time. We take for granted a roof over our head. We take for granted the food in our pantry. We take for granted the clothes that we have. We take for granted that we have power. Hopefully you had power over the last few days and electricity. But there's so much we take for granted. I wanted to start today with gratefulness. So could you turn to your neighbor and tell them one thing that you're grateful for, one thing that you're grateful for. If you're here and you don't have a neighbor, then just find somebody and send them a text right real quick and just tell them one thing you're grateful for. So come on, let's hear a little bit of roar of talking out there. One thing you're grateful for. Good. You know, one of the things I'm grateful for the Bible. This year you've heard us talk a lot about Bible engagement. We want to engage with Scripture. We want this Word of God to be a part of our daily life. I'm so grateful that we have God's Word. And I want to look at a prophecy that was from the 8th century BC when it was written. The nation of Israel was in a very dark place. They were in exile. That means they had been removed from their homeland. They were under captivity. And they were hoping and waiting for a king and a kingdom that would usher in peace. In the middle of their darkness, in the middle of their fear, in the middle of their turmoil, in the middle of their storm, in the middle of their loneliness, they longed for peace. And there'd be a king and a kingdom that would usher in that peace, not only for Israel, but for the world. And that's the prophecy I want to read to you today, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 2, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone." You know, Isaiah's going to talk a little bit about some of the joy that kind of comes. Think about it. Out of the oppression, some of this stuff starts to happen. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They weren't joyful during their exile, but because of what's about to happen, this is their reflection, right? You have increased their joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, his staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Why? Why is there so much joy when they're sitting there in exile? Because they're waiting for a king and a kingdom that would usher in peace. And so Isaiah goes right into this light that has dawned. For those in darkness, a light has dawned. And it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end." What a beautiful promise in Scripture 700 years before Jesus was born, that Jesus would be the light. When Isaiah prophesied, "Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone," he's pointing to Jesus. He's pointing through time, through space, and he's pointing ahead to the time that Jesus would come. Now, light in Scripture, and even outside of Scripture, is often used as a metaphor for things. You could use light as a metaphor to bring illumination or to enlighten someone, kind of like when we say the phrase, "Well, let me shine a light on that for you," right? Let me help you understand that. Think of the feeling of fumbling around in the darkness, fumbling around in a dark room where you can't see to be able to walk. It's just pitch black. It's darkness. And you keep running into things. You keep falling over things. You keep stubbing your toe. You keep slamming your face into the wall because there is no life, fumbling around in the darkness. That's what the world was like before Jesus came, fumbling around in the darkness. Humans, whether they're believers or not, are always looking to some kind of meaning in things, right? We seem to not be able to live life without having meaning for our living. So we ask questions like, well, who am I? We ask questions like, well, what's the purpose of life? We ask questions like, what is goodness? And what do I need to do to be a good person? We ask questions like, does anyone even love me? Does anyone even know I exist? Does anybody even know what I'm going through? We ask questions like, is there hope? Is there hope for my life? Is there hope for the future? Is there hope for our world? And without Jesus, the answer to any and all of those questions is just a grasping in the dark, trying to make sense out of the mystery and the wonder and the sufferings of life. And too often we end up with more questions than we have answers when we don't have Jesus. But here's what we do know. Christ has come. He has died, he has risen, and he will come again. At Christmas, we look back to Jesus' first coming, and we look forward to his second coming. We realize that we're living in the tension of the in-betweens, the in-between his first coming and the in-between of his second coming. And that's where we're at right now, you and me, living in the tension of the in-betweens. And today, as we live in the tension of the in-betweens, we can pause and be grateful, thankful as we started today, thankful that Jesus has come, thankful that Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he's risen again. Today we can pause and as we're waiting on Jesus' second coming and remember his first. The Apostle Paul, quoting what Jesus wrote, said, he writes, and when he had given thanks, what we're going to do now, he broke it, the bread, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance for me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. But here's the good part. Until he comes, Jesus is coming back again. Jesus came on purpose and for a purpose. He was born in the little town of Bethlehem in a stable for a purpose. He came to live. He came to die. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. And with our communion elements that we have in our hands, we can remember his life, his death, and the promise that he's coming back again. So let me invite you to take out those little communion elements that you got on your way in. You can open that up. If you notice, it's a new one. The little wafer is at the bottom. Some of you guys are like, where's the bread? So you can take that out. As we hold that little wafer in our hands, we remember his first coming, Jesus. Scripture says was born of a woman, born under the law. He was fully God, fully man. And as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we celebrate that Jesus left the comforts of heaven and he came to give his life for you and me. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that when no one had time for you and no one was looking for you, at just the right time, in the fullness of time, you came. Part of God's plan that God created before the foundations of the earth were ever laid, God made a plan for a little baby to be born in a cold stable, wrapped in some swaddling cloths, and laid in an animal feed trough. From that humble start came the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came to live, he came to die, and he came to resurrect, and he's coming back again. Thank you that you came and gave your life for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat together. As you prepare that juice, let me pray. Jesus, thank you that out of all the different ways you could have atoned for our salvation, you chose to empty yourself. The blood of life that carries life throughout your being, you gave it wholly, completely for me, for us. There always had to be the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins, and there was always a need for another sacrifice and another and another and another until Jesus, the perfect lamb that takes away the sins of the world. You did what I could never have done. You came on purpose and for a purpose, and this was your purpose, to give your life as a ransom for many. And today we say thank you, because without you, we have no hope. Without you, we're still left in darkness. Without you, there is no light. But because of you, not only do we have the light and understanding, but we have the hope of eternity, the life of Christ. Thank you for your saving grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink together. Wow. Jesus came to bring meaning to our life. And that is a meaning that is full in him. Not full in me, but full in him. And in a moment, we're going to light our candles. And that got me thinking to some of the reasons perhaps why we do that. Light in scripture, we talked about, is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for let me bring illumination to that, or let me illuminate or enlighten you. But it's also a metaphor for hope. If you want another metaphor, light's a metaphor for hope. Like a beacon of light that guides an airplane home under foggy conditions. Or like a beacon of light from a lighthouse that steers ships away from a dangerous shoreline. Or like the light that's reflecting on the roadside reflectors to help a driver drive in very rainy and wet conditions. Hope. Hope. And I'm looking at some kids that are in here, and maybe some of the kids that are in here, maybe you sleep with a nightlight on at night. And it brings you hope. Jesus came as a light to guide us in the darkness. In John's gospel, it says it this way in John chapter 1, verse 4. In him, talking about Christ, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, Jesus came into a very spiritually dark world, and Jesus looked at what was going on in our world and could see the darkness in which we lived in, and he came. The darkness is, to me, kind of from the Christmas story, we see it playing out in a very familiar passage in Luke chapter 2. In fact, it's one of the Christmas stories that we read as a family on Christmas morning. Before we tear into the Christmas gifts, we sit down and we read the Christmas story, and we'll read it out of Luke chapter 2 most of the time. And it's a familiar story. You know it, when the angels come to visit the shepherds. And in verse 8, it says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks. And it says, at night. Isn't that interesting? Keeping watch over their flocks at night. The word at night stands out to me every time I read the Christmas story, because the shepherds were visited in their darkness. And life can be pretty dark sometimes. Life can sometimes be an endless array of dark hopelessness. It also calls to mind when God brought the plague of darkness on Egypt. Describing it, Moses says in Exodus chapter 10 that it was a darkness that could be felt. And sometimes that's what life feels like. It's hopeless. It's dark. It's difficult. The pain is so dark that it could almost be felt. It's that kind of darkness in which Jesus enters the scene. But don't miss the fact that Christmas always begins in the dark, such as those two little words that the angel spoke to the shepherds at night. That first Christmas night created a divide between centuries of darkness and hopelessness. There was a pre-manger darkness, a post-manger darkness. After the shepherds came and saw the baby born in a manger, Luke says that they left, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. After everything that they saw, they returned to the same place where everything started. In other words, they went back out into another dark night. But now something had changed. Now something had changed forever. Life would never be the same again. All the brilliant glory, the laser light show that lit up the sky. But something was different. The darkness didn't end. There was another night of darkness and another night of darkness, but something had changed, and something had changed forever. Their experience had changed in the darkness. The darkness was still there. The darkness was still waiting for them on the other side of the manger. And that's to be expected. The angels hadn't come to the shepherds to banish and eradicate the night. Glory displayed from the heavens only for one purpose, to give a prompt to seek out the Savior of the world. A flash of light showed the path to a greater light. Just as Isaiah had predicted, a light dawned on people sitting in that pre-manger darkness. The birth of Christ changed everything because God's at work in the dark. And if you find yourself in a dark place today, can I just let you know that there's hope in Christ? God's at work in the darkness. Our blindness isn't his. As the psalmist says, even the darkness will not be dark to you. God's at work in your darkness. And it was the reality of Jesus, not the light of the angels, that stuck with the shepherds. As the glories, as the heavenly choir had looked and sounded in the field, as amazing as that was, it paled in comparison to the staggering truth that the child Messiah, the King of Kings, had entered into our world. The good news of Christmas did not end in a stable of Bethlehem. Instead, it was the beginning of an epic true story that here we are, you and me, 2,000 years later, still talking about. Jesus came in a humble, unassuming way. He came in the tender state of a newborn baby. But Jesus' birth was the turning point for human history. The world is still dark, as it was for those shepherds out in their fields at night. There's still evil, there's still injustice, there's still wars, there's still hatred, there's still prejudice. But something's different. A Savior. Can you say that word with me? A Savior. A Savior has been born. Jesus is the hope of the world. Let me invite you to bow your head and close your eyes with me for just a moment. If you're here today and if you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus, the Savior of the world. I'm so glad you're here today. And what a beautiful Christmas service we're having together. But what would make it so complete is if you walked in here with doubts and questions, you walked in here not knowing Jesus, that at the end of today and at this moment right now, this moment that God's planned, this moment that God's prepared, you would be willing to say yes to Jesus, born to be the Savior of the world. Maybe that's you. Maybe in wrestling with the idea, tossing it back and forth, trying to come up with an answer in your own mind, trying to reason, trying to make sense. Maybe that's you, not wanting to give up control, fighting to stay in charge. But wherever you're at, if today you realize it's a day to say yes to Jesus, I'm simply going to count to three, and as I do, would you just slip your hand up? Would you just slip your hand up and wave it at me? I'd love to see it. We're going to pray together that today, on this Christmas Eve 2022, you said yes to Jesus. You said yes to the Savior of the world. I want to live for Christ. Is that you? One, two, three. Jesus, we thank you. You're such a good God. We love you so much. Today, we give you our heart. We give you our affection. We give you our life, our today, and our tomorrow. We're yours. And we want to live for you. It's our act of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
So right now, would you guys go ahead and grab your candles and stand with me? You know, today, if you're feeling lost or overwhelmed, you can let the hope of Christ in. If you're feeling lonely or you're grieving, you can let the hope of Christ in. If you're scared, if you are anxious, you can let the hope of Christ in. So we may live in a world that's confusing and difficult and we don't understand everything. But on that silent night, on that holy night, Jesus was born.